Bay's TAN Talk. Entertaining and informative radio for the Sunshine State.
Hi, this is Pam Tillis, and you're listening to Hollywood Connection with Dawn.
Hi, I'm Gina Lee Nolan, and you're listening to Hollywood Connections.
Hey, everyone, I'm Cassie Scirbo with Dawn, the lovely Dawn, and you're listening and watching Hollywood Connections.
Hey, what up, you guys? It's your girl, Vivica Fox. You are watching Hollywood Connections on TAN Talk Radio with Dawn. Little foxy thing. Enjoy.
Hi, you're listening to Hollywood Connections with Dawn Meese, and I'm Kathleen Gatti from General Hospital, Dr. Liesl Obrecht.
Hello, I'm Butch Patrick, and you're listening to Dawn Reese's TAN Talk Radio, Hollywood Connections.
John Schneider, you're listening to Dawn Reese on Hollywood Connections.
Hey, this is Jason Thompson from The Young and the Restless. You're listening to Hollywood Connections with Dawn Reese.
Hi, Squidward Tentacles here, reminding you about Hollywood Connections with Dawn Reese. If you want to know about voiceovers, this is where you need to tune in. You can hear me too. Have a great day. Is this thing still on?
I am.
Hey, this is Brittany Sarpy from Young and the Restless, and you are listening to Dawn Reese Hollywood Connection.
Hey, this is your Olympic hero, Kurt Angle, and you're listening to Hollywood Connections with Dawn Reese. Oh, it's true. It's damn true.
Charlie Adler, and I'm shouting out, I guess that's a word, because I'll be on Hollywood Connections soon.
Welcome to Hollywood. What's your dream? Everybody comes here. This is Hollywood, land of dreams. Some dreams come true, some don't, but keep on dreaming. This is Hollywood, always time to dream, so keep on dreaming.
Hi, everybody, and
our beautiful Clearwater Beach studio here, and I am so excited. This is what Hollywood Connections is all about, and I have a film director that is amazing, entrepreneur. Wow, if you are shooting films, you got to listen to this guy. He will motivate you, and what he is doing, producing his own movies, and his actress, girlfriend, wife?
My wife?
Your wife, yes. She's as gorgeous as she is here, and she looks like she could be Miss Poland or Miss USA, and I want to thank you for joining today. So let's introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about yourself.
Dawn, thank you for having me on your show tonight.
Thank you.
My name is Chuck Morangelo. I'm originally from New York. I was raised in Long Island and came to Florida many, many decades ago. And love the warm weather down here like everybody else does.
I have a ton of questions for you.
And so did I. Where on Long Island?
I'm actually from Bethpage.
All right. I grew up in Babylon.
Of course. There you go.
So you know where I grew up? Smack dab between Deer Park Avenue and... not Hampton Deer Park. What the hell am I saying? Dixon's in Deer Park. I'm right in the middle.
Yeah, you're off of 495 Expressway there.
Yep, exit 50.
Yeah, I know exactly where it is.
We're in Bethpage.
I'm Bethpage, borderline of old Bethpage and Bethpage.
I know exactly where you are. You're by the Restoration Village.
Right where they're, right around the corner.
Perfect.
From
I know exactly where you are.
That's where I grew up, brother.
There you go.
Wow. So when you were younger, living in Long Island, did you want to be a film director? What was your dream and aspiration?
Hold on. And for the record, that's a pet peeve of mine. It's on Long Island, not in Long Island. New York on Long Island. There's a difference.
There's like Kissimmee and Kissimmee. Yeah. So I get it.
Yeah.
I get it. So were you thinking about film at that time? Or were you an actor?
I was in a band, believe it or not. We were in a really popular band called Strange Brew.
Nice.
So we used to warm up for Twisted Sister, you know, a lot of the major acts that came into town. And we were popular. We had, you know, 40,000 people on our mailing list. So I was playing every night in clubs and getting a lot of exposure.
Did you ever go to the Bitter End? In New York?
I know exactly where the Bitter End is, yeah.
Because I knew Pete.
I think we even played at the Bitter End.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. There was a promoter I worked with, and Pete Bennett.
Right.
And he took me there, and he had a table. He would look for people that were, you know, new bands and work with all the record people. He worked with Elvis and all the people in the back.
Wow.
Yeah, I was like, Mr. Bennett, here's your table. We were front row. It was so cool. So you're here to promote your movie, as well as so many questions I have. And let me go, and we'll come back to you in a second. Introduce yourself to the world.
Thank you, Dylan, for having us. My name is Karolina Morangelo, and I'm originally from Poland, and I came to U.S. like 8 years ago. Got married to my beautiful husband, Chuck Morangelo, and we begin to making movies.
That is so amazing. So we have the trailer. Can you set up the trailer, this movie that you is working on editing right now? And a little bit of, let me ask you this, we're going to go into some major questions here, of how you decided to get this going. Like, what inspired you?
Well, as far as inspiring us to get into the industry, the movie industry, is that me and my wife, we just love suspenseful thriller horror films.
Wow.
You know, we started every night watching Lifetime movies and drama movies. And then it became this rolling thing and say, you know, we can do that same thing.
Uh-huh.
So we basically bought ourselves a camera.
Okay.
And we started kind of filming stories. And then I took her to Long Island. And I'm sure the engineer here knows of a road called Mount Misery Road.
Yeah, I know exactly where it is.
And Amityville.
Yep.
And I took her to this haunted road that's considered one of the most haunted roads in America. And I said, hey, Carolina, I want to film you in this famous road. So one thing led to another, and we went back to the Holiday Inn in Plainview that night, and basically I started looking at the review of the film that we did prior that day. We shot this film in 10-degree weather.
Amazing.
And that was our first film, called Amityville Mount Misery Road.
Well, and you just won a big award on this one here that we're about to play.
The new movie is called The American Ripper.
The American Ripper.
The American Ripper, yeah. And so it's an award-winning film, and basically, Carolina took Best Actress in it, and it was just in our Orlando's Phantasma Film Festival, and basically was the best featured film out of hundreds of films.
Congratulations. That is so amazing. It is so amazing. And we're going to come back with a ton of questions here with these amazing couple here, and I'm so glad that you're in our studio. We're going to go to that trailer right now, and Matt, my engineer back there, is working hard for us, as always, and so we're going to have a little bit of the trailer play so you can hear this amazing suspense movie.
Thank you.
We'll be right back.
All right.
Hello, welcome.
The views of this lake are truly to die for.
What happened to the previous owners?
The bank took it back.
I think we should get it.
We'll take it.
This house is just perfect for us.
Survivors, even he was alive, but we got to work on him right away.
Goats, well, we had.
I don't know what happened. Like something got into me. Something was controlling my body.
You know, we can always talk to you. I'm worrying about you.
Perfectly fine.
Mom, Bob is just trying to drown me. Let me go, Bobby, please.
For now. You'll call me Henry. And you'll do whatever I want.
Movie you need to watch with the lights on. Oh my goodness. So, questions galore here. So, can you tell us a little bit about the pilot, The American Ripper?
Basically, we were during around the COVID time, everybody's on lockdown. I said, hey, we need to make a film. We're getting a little bit bored here. Let's try to see if we can make another film. So, me and Carolina sat around. I said, you know what? I'd like to play a part of a psychopath.
And this is during COVID. There's nothing to do, so you decided to do a movie. Painted our house.
Yeah, we were thinking we were probably the only crazy people in Tampa Bay, that nobody's doing what we're doing.
Yeah.
So Carolina's up at 5 o'clock in the morning, putting up on all her FX makeup on. She's doing all these great special effects that she did. And we started shooting the film. We started shooting it from maybe, 7, 8 o'clock in the morning till maybe 9 o'clock at night.
Oh, wow. And who wrote the screenplay and story?
I wrote the screenplay.
Amazing.
So, yeah, I got this idea that, I want to Anthony Perkins, and you got Jack Nicholson, you got Kathy Bates playing these villain kind of people.
Right.
And I thought this would be a great opportunity for me to kind of be part of that scene.
It's amazing that you don't wait around for things to happen and try to find, you produce it yourself, and you get out there and you're sending it to film festivals and winning awards as best actress. And, oh, my gosh, that is amazing. So can you tell me who Bobby Bentel is and Caroline? And can you tell me who Lola Bentel is?
So it's Bobby Benelli.
Oh, Benelli. See, that's my Italian.
That's the Italian background.
Benelli.
And Lola
so
Benelli.
So that's a kind of a Long Island thing there, Matt.
Yes, but, I see that.
Damn straight it is.
So we basically said, okay, we're going to call the main characters Bobby and Lola Benelli. They buy a brand new house. They're looking to shop for, as newlyweds, for a brand new location to live. And the house has some background that's kind of suspicious as far as the hauntings that have happened prior to us moving into the home,
right,
before the Benellis move in.
Wow.
The real estate agent didn't tell us that there was a murder in that house.
Oh, geez.
Yeah.
Oh,
so
geez.
It came down to where we move into this house, basically, and that house has been cursed. The lake is cursed. And it goes back to this villain that owned an orange plantation probably 100 years prior to that. His name was Henry Barcelona. I want Carolina to tell you about Lola. So,
yes.
So who is Lola?
Lola's our station owner here, too. It's not about the station owner.
So, Lola Benelli, who is she? She is a very sophisticated wife of a trial attorney, who is Bobby Benelli, and they together moved into the new house. And they think the house is beautiful, they start a new life, they move in. Unfortunately, as soon as they move in, bizarre things start happening. And Bobby is just transitioning into this psychopath murderer.
Oh my gosh.
you know, this...
But you actually, you played both parts.
Mm-hmm.
You played Bobby Benelli and Henry Barcelona.
Correct, correct. So
so who was Henry Barcelona?
Henry Barcelona is a sophisticated, wealthy plantation owner that grows oranges in Florida.
Okay.
And he has this fetish for prostitutes.
Oh, wow.
So he's the American Ripper.
Oh, okay.
Just like Jack the Ripper.
Okay.
That in England had fetishes for prostitutes. He would get rid of them, chop them up. So he gets possessed basically by this lake and this curse of the house and becomes Henry Barcelona.
Bobby becomes Henry, yes.
Bobby becomes Henry Barcelona.
I wonder what happens at the end. Stay tuned. We can't tell you yet. What did Henry Barcelona do that got him into trouble with the law?
He basically was killing prostitutes, and we don't want to tell you too much, but he was getting rid of the bodies.
Right.
Possibly getting rid of the bodies in the lake, dumping them in the lake.
Oh, my gosh.
He finally got caught. Finally got caught and got convicted of manslaughter, murder.
Right.
And they gave him the electric chair.
But actually what we are seeing in the movie is a personality transition of Bobby into Henry. So just like you have in The Shining, Jack Nicholson.
Right.
Who is moving to the hotel and he's transitioning and he's becoming crazy and crazy and the times go on. The same thing is happening. This movie is like a modern version of Shining, Shining.
Can they see the trailer someplace, or can you give your IMBD and all of your social media?
Yes, the movie's going to be coming out on October 26th. Right now, you can kind of watch the pre-trailer on YouTube under ITN Films.
Okay.
So it's The American Ripper.
The American Ripper.
ITN Films. And then we're going to be posting a lot of other stuff as well, little teasers and different things.
Yes, when you go to IMDb, also when you type The American Ripper, you can learn everything there as far as the trailer and behind the scenes. We have a lot of pictures.
Wow.
And yes, and we have also different fun stuff listed there.
Amazing, you two. So, Chuck, you played the incredible performance of Henry Barcelona, which he is the American Ripper. He's a psychotic maniac that is deranged and disturbed, and he's basically a killer.
Correct.
So that's what you had just said. What made you want to play the part, and how did you get into the character? Wow,
that's a
good question.
Great question.
Yeah.
Again, I was influenced by watching these great horror films, suspense films, and I found, watching ID and a lot of History Channel, I found Jeffrey Dahmer, Charles Manson, Ted Bundy, kind of interesting, not as far as killing people, but as far as the psychopathic background that he had achieved. So I said, okay, I have to study them a little bit to see to play this part. So I actually transformed from this trial attorney into this monster, basically this evil monster.
Wow, and you look at him now, he looks like a model from, you know,
well, thank you, Dawn.
A Tempranillo magazine as well.
I also gained a lot of weight as I transformed throughout the film.
Interesting. How did you lose the weight after?
How did I lose the weight? I just basically went on a diet.
Yeah, that happens as well.
No more pizza, Matt, right?
Pizza. So can you tell me about Curve Lake and Barcelona Lake?
The film was shot in Land O'Lakes, Florida. Majority of the film was shot around that area. That's kind of where we have our residence in that area. There's a lot of lakes. It's the land of lakes.
Oh, yeah. You fly over. All you see are
that's
lakes.
All you see is lakes.
Yeah.
So we started doing research from the local town there about this lake that we lived on.
So this is true?
This is true.
Oh, wow. I know my next question real quick. It goes into this, and are the lakes haunted or cursed?
The lake, that's a good question. We think it is a little bit from what we've kind of found out, but we found out the lake before it was Curve Lake was called Barcelona Lake.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
So it goes way back to where there was Barcelona Lake, but now it's called Curve Lake because the developers made it and they called it Curve Lake.
Okay, that's interesting. Ooh. Okay, how did you come up with the characters in the film? And tell me a little bit about that.
We had a great cast. I mean, we really did. We thought we needed a majority of people. So as this period went by, we added more and more people. A lot of the actors in the film, some of them had no acting experience.
Interesting, because, you know, a lot of people ask me, I want to be an actress. Mm-hmm. Do I need an agent?
Yes.
You know, so how did you find them? Did you do an open casting call?
No, I actually went to people that I thought would actually look great. From my neighbor, that I made him a cop. We waited for a month. We waited for probably 3-4 months to find this police officer. Mm-hmm. And finally, I said, you know, my friend Ross would be the perfect cop for this guy. He's my neighbor.
Oh, okay.
So he had a bald head, you know, yeah. Perfect guy, you know, really mean looking dude. And basically, we worked with him for a month, and we put him in the film as a police officer.
See, I love those stories because I was a talent agent down in Fort Lauderdale at one time,
right,
for a top agency. And I will tell you, mailman came in and we were casting,
right,
for something, and we said, take your hat off. Can you do this? He goes, yeah, heck yeah. So you never know where you're going to be, and just be ready. If that's your dream, watch out, because it can happen.
I made my chiropractor a detective also.
Did you really?
So we went in his office, took all his plaques down of chiropractic stuff, and put up all plaques that said Detective
O'Hara,
mm-hmm, Dr. Scott Eisenberg. We had a real estate agent, Angela. She played the part.
Did
as
you
the
get
real
free
estate
chiropractic after that?
Yeah. Yes.
Should have been in the trade. For sure. So how did you choose your cast and find them? So you're telling me a little bit more about that now. Did you have other cast members join?
Yeah.
We have our dear friend Kurt Weika. He actually passed away, and we, you know, when we were very sad about it, he didn't have a chance to watch our final product, but he did a great job. He played the role of our neighbor. So
he plays the nosy neighbor.
Yeah. So do they have speaking parts, or did you
get
a script?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. So he's the nosy neighbor. He sees that there's something going on in the house. Carolina, which is Lola, is becoming tortured throughout the film. he's this neighbor next door is wondering, what are all these sounds, chainsaw sounds, hammer sounds?
Okay. I guess we have a caller. Can we get them on the air? And I just want to say hello.
Brooks is on the line.
Okay, Brooks from Denver, Colorado.
Excellent.
And he's listening to the show, and I have an amazing film director here. Welcome, Brooks. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
So I told him you'd be listening to the show and introducing them. Now, Brooks, I just want to add in here real quick. He has a screenplay. Tell him a little bit about what you do real quick.
So I was in the lawn care industry for the last 10 years. Decided that a lot of funny things have happened throughout every day, pretty much. And I wanted to create a TV series for it, also revolving a lot around the cannabis culture out here in Denver.
That goes hand in hand. Lawn service, cannabis, okay. Not a greenery. So you wrote your whole screenplay?
So I have a script for the pilot written out, and then I created a trailer for the pilot, and actually just got that put up on my website this morning.
So, nice. You have a question for the film director. You know, he did say, do you have a literary agent? We were speaking about you before the show.
And I do not.
Okay, tell him why he would need one.
I would just, again, make sure that your screenplay is all nice and written, everything spelled right, organized, and then start searching for a literary agent. And that's the person you're going to probably want to carry you to the next step, you know.
Oh,
and then if you have a film that's done, then you can get we can introduce you to some distribution deals here. So,
actually, I misspoke. I do have a literary agent. I just call her my script writer.
I guess that's your wife then, right?
Well, no, she was my first AD for the trailer, but that's how I met her. But I am now at the point where I'm looking for information. How do I get this distributed?
That's a question, because we always have questions that people call in. So any advice to Brooks?
Did you make the film yet, or you haven't made the film yet?
Nope, I'm needing funding and for product placement, as well as just investors to be able to create the pilot.
Yeah, I would just make the film, and then you got the product. And then once you have the product, then you can go through the next door, and that's kind of shopping it through distribution companies.
I can answer that question.
Mm-hmm.
What we did, and we were also in the very beginning, we didn't really know which way to go. So we created the whole movie first, and trailer, and we made sure that the trailer is very catchy. And we just, you know, went to the film market, American Film Market website, and I started searching for distribution companies and their agents. And I was just calling, you know, calling agents, and just if they are interested, I was sending them my trailer. And that's how I got connected. But also we submitted the trailer and the movie to many festivals.
Many festivals.
Just festivals will give you the exposure. If they like your movie, they like your pilot, then that's the way to go. Then you're going to have recognition. And you can network with people there. It's a great way to go to.
See, that's what Hollywood Connections is about. We always take a call in for somebody that has a question. Because, Brooks, these two people are truly amazing. They did this all themselves. And she just won a top award. The award that you just won was Best Actress?
Yes, Best Actress. And we also won Best Feature.
That is amazing. That is amazing.
Yeah, we shot the whole film by ourselves, believe it or not. So we shot all the camera work and, you know, did everything. We actually put our original music there as well. We also have an original band called Bougie and Charlie. We have great members of our band, and it's all original material that we're putting
in our film. Used to play for a famous band.
I used to play lead guitar for a famous legendary rock singer. His name was Marty Balin. So he's the founder of the Jefferson Airplane and the Jefferson Starship. Great friend of mine, great buddy, and just a regular guy, but legendary. So,
well, we opened the show with your song, which we're going to come back to.
And that song was actually a good friend of mine that wrote that. His name is Jesse Barish, and he's out in California area, LA area, and he's the one that wrote Hearts that Marty Balin sung, and okay. He's also the one that wrote another song he wrote, Count on Me.
Count on Me. I love that
song. He wrote that song, Count on Me.
So is I Like It in the film?
I Like It is in the film.
Great song.
Yeah.
Great song. Yeah.
Great.
We actually
heard it on the radio some more. I hope.
Yes, we will, for sure. Well, Brooks, we want to thank you for calling, and I'll make sure you, I'll give him your number, and you can follow up with him.
Excellent. I really appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Nice meeting
you,
sir.
Welcome.
I like to help people, you know, and that's what is all about this show and helping you as well get out there, that you can take this show and send it to other shows. And I got other friends that are talk show hosts around the world and say, I need you to get them on their show. So for sure.
Well, we're here to do that.
Yes, that's why I'm here. I'm like
filmmakers.
The fairy godmother of Hollywood Connections.
I think filmmakers should help each other instead of be against each other and compete. I think it's all about unity, and why not to help each other? We are all in the same boat.
Exactly. Last time I went to church, I go to church, but I went over to the Catholic church. He said, it's time to get out of the boat, which we were living on the boat, which is a whole other story. I did comedy school. And we got off the boat. But anyways, now we have psychischarters.com. Check us out. So how did you guys come up with the title of American Ripper?
You want to talk about that?
That is interesting.
Currently?
Like, how did you, that intrigues me, how you come up with names for a movie title.
So we had a few titles in our head. We wanted to call it, our working title was always Curse of Curved Lake. We always thought about this title. However, it's just like, it's so many words. It's too long. You're not going to be able to remember it. So then we changed it. We were thinking something about psychopath or psychopathy, you know, something to do
or
with
maniac.
Those words. Maniac, you know.
Wow.
But it wasn't catchy enough. Plus, you have already a psycho movie being made, you know, in the past. So we were thinking about, we have so many titles. And then we just liked, you know, Jack the Ripper. And he actually is, you know, his personality is very similar to Chuck's transitioning from Bobby to Henry personality. So we're thinking, okay, the Ripper is cool, but the American Ripper is really cool, because you have the English Jack the Ripper, and now we wanted to portray the American Ripper.
Interesting. So let me ask you real quick. I'm going to jump into another quick question. What is your background in acting? Like, how did you want to become an actress? This is intriguing me, and I really want to know.
No, I do not have acting experience, but Chuck made me an actress. He said, let's do this film. Or he actually told me back in the time, 2018, you should do some cooking shows. So I did some cooking shows on YouTube, and it blew up, and I have like in 2 days, like 2,000 followers.
Wow.
And then I had to take it down because I was all in my lingerie and stuff.
Right.
So Chuck's like, no, don't do it. You have weird comments there. So I took it down and I buried that YouTube channel. But
Cooney Schmeg Show.
But then he said, oh, you can act. And I said, oh, yeah. So let's do a movie. And also we did this movie.
It looks like you had years of acting because that's a suspense thriller. And I'm watching you. I'm like, whoa, she is so good at acting. So you, God has just blessed you with that. And that's phenomenal because a lot of people go out and I mean, I've been in that business and I've taught and I've been at the modeling schools all over and I'll taught these kids and stuff. But when did you realize, you know, what age you started about?
Well, my background is actually, I'm a civil engineer.
You're kidding me.
No, I am a bachelor in civil engineering. So I'm more like a technical person.
Okay.
So I like perfectionists. I like to make everything perfect. So either it is whatever I do, either it's editing or acting or whatever. I'm just perfectionist. I like to get things done really.
I have to ask you this. How long have you been married?
7 years.
Wow. What makes, and I always ask this on the red carpet, what makes a successful marriage and working relationship in this industry?
I'd like to answer that.
Somebody has to be a leader.
I guess it's my Taurus personality.
Oh, yes.
I'm a May birthday, so I'm always all about leadership. But believe it or not, we are together every day, every minute of the day. And we're always doing fun things every day.
That's cool.
We love entertainment.
And you guys are best friends as well.
We're best friends. And we love to make people happy. That's kind of what we do. So we do, either it's music or it's through movies. So now we collaborated those two together. So now we're using our original music in our movies.
That works so smart.
It works beautiful.
Oh, I know so many film directors that are starting out there and they're waiting for that big break and they're going to different, you know, film festivals and networking, which is great. But to see you two actually do it and wow, and win these awards, I'm all for that. So where did you shoot the film?
We shot the film locally here in Florida.
Yes. Okay.
We also are professional drone operators. We learned how to use the drones.
Oh, okay.
So we actually got a drone years back, and we said, we're going to learn how to use this thing.
So what happened when you first started the drone, when you first tried it?
I don't think we crashed it maybe once or twice when we shot another film in Poland that we filmed.
Okay.
That's on the horizon that we'll be putting out in 2000.
And you're from Poland yourself.
I am.
Yes. I'm Polish too, so I get it.
So I got the two Poles here with the Italian. Italian from Long Island.
There's a joke in there someplace. I'm trying to figure that one out. James, where are you? He's from the last show. How did you choose the set film location? What was your thought on that?
Again, we were kind of on lockdown, so we figured that you can't fly, you can't go anywhere. We didn't want to get sick, so we said we'll just use the surrounding areas, and we scouted around the area, and we said, you know what, we're going to film this about a lake. And that was the Curve Lake, Barcelona Lake situation.
And it's so cool. I mean, it was during COVID, and you guys didn't sit around the house and make bonbons and, you know, pasta.
Yeah, I mean,
Like
I said before, we were probably thinking every morning we're waking up, putting these costumes on, doing this acting, setting up lights, setting up camera shots. We're probably the only crazy people doing this early in the morning.
That was kind of hard work.
It was a lot of hard work, yes.
But that's what makes life exciting, and you're doing it, and it's showing your results right now that are happening. What challenges did you face during production? What were your challenges?
Okay, I can answer that question. The worst during production for me personally was laying in bed for from 6 to 10 hours.
Oh my gosh.
In an air conditioning bedroom, I was in my lingerie, so it was freezing cold and I was shivering. And Chuck was giving me blanket from time to time because he had to tie me up to be able to shoot that scene.
Oh my
gosh. So I couldn't pull the blanket on myself. So I was just shivering, you know, blue lips and stuff like that. So even though I had all my wounds and everything, FX makeup on me, I was still just so cold. And I will never forget that, how cold it was in that bedroom with this damn air conditioning blowing in my face.
So she was tied up by old cables, computer cables.
But we found them in
the garage and we used them as a prop.
It shows, when I'm shivering like that, it actually gave me more to the character.
I would say it definitely would. For yes. sure. What were your challenges?
My challenges was pushing my wife to continue to, let's continue.
let's continue.
And then she'd be like, I'm freezing. Ah, don't worry about that. It actually adds to the scene. You know, adds to the scene.
Seriously. Who would have thought? These are the behind the scenes information, yeah. you guys. So, you know, your movie looks like you had a huge film crew working on the set with a large production budget. Can you tell me, as a, you know, husband and wife team, how you both acted and filmed in the entire movie yourself without a film crew? And that's amazing. How did you do that?
We took a lot of time on our shots. We knew from watching a lot of footage, a lot of films that we love, that we can get better shots. And Carolina did this amazing job on her FX blood and her costumes. I mean, it looks really
just, so you did all the makeup.
She did it all herself.
So how did you learn how to do that?
I just learned it, I guess.
Do you know how many people go to, like, the big makeup companies and spend thousands of dollars to learn what you did? And you, it's, like, so amazing.
I can give you a secret. You know, like, I didn't know how to do it. Of course, you can go on YouTube and watch a lot of tutorials. But I was just taking a latex and having a paper tissues layers, you know, together. And I put the latex on it, and I put it on me. And then when it dries out, I was cutting a little wounds on it and just putting, you know, a little bit of liquid.
I mean, it really looks gruesome with what she did.
Yeah, and
she,
I saw that.
She transitions from where she's in bed being tied up, and then she gets hit on the head with a bat, and then she starts losing her ear. Her ear is cut off.
Lord.
So
oh,
it's just one thing. And we don't want to tell you too much because we want our viewers to watch it.
Okay, is it October? Yes, it is.
It's actually perfect for Halloween. Perfect story for Halloween.
Oh my gosh. So how many days did it take you to shoot the film?
We shot the scene probably, I don't know, we must working on it for probably about a year or two.
Maybe right? 2 years.
2 years.
Mm-hmm.
So during that COVID scene, we were staying home. We didn't go anywhere.
Wow. So what did you shoot it with?
We shot it with a camera.
Two cameras.
I know. What kind of camera?
We shot it with two cameras, one Canon and one Panasonic, and we shot it on the drone and also a GoPro.
Amazing.
Yeah. So we shot it on those four cameras that we shot it on.
It's
in 4K, the film. And then Carolina edited it and color corrected it. And Carolina is just amazing on her editing work. So.
And how did you learn how to edit?
again.
Oh my God. You could have like the Caroline edit school, a makeup school. You could like teach everybody how to do this.
Yes, she's incredible. Very talented.
I mean, when I first started doing it, I thought that anybody can do it. So I just didn't think that it's something, you know, so extraordinary to edit the film, you know, because I was just editing the scenes and I thought like anybody can do it.
Just did you have a program that you worked on?
Yeah, I learned Adobe Premiere, I learned DaVinci program, I learned all that.
Amazing. That you're on top of it, for sure. So, Carolina, we already know, let's see, how you played his wife as, you know, Bobby, wife of Bobby in the film. So, Lola Benelli. I have to, I'm okay, Polish. But what about the character you played of Maria, and who is she?
Oh, that's a great question. Yes, there is Maria in the movie.
Yes.
This is a fictional character that's developed in Henry's head. So Henry thinks that Lola is Maria, but Lola is actually not Maria. She is still Lola. You know, it's not. She's not developing to anything else.
That's a twist. Wow.
Yeah, it's a twist to it. So Maria is basically his favorite prostitute.
A fictionary living in Henry's head. So that's why he started going crazy and calling Lola Maria.
Have you thought of writing a book about this as well?
I think it would be a great book. So you know,
because I have a friend that's going to be on in 2 weeks, Leslie Graham, and there's a program that she does, and she writes books and for a lot of people.
From movies?
Scripts, and you can take it now and put it into a program and speak into it, and then it'll just print it out as a book. And this woman is so phenomenal. I'm going to give you her number.
I would love to get her number.
She is so amazing. So anyways, we talked about 8 hours while you were in bed and as Maria. And so did you get out after 8 hours or was it 8 hours?
Okay, so after I got out, you know, it's just such a weird feeling. And I think that any actor who is in bed for so long has problems because when you're acting on a movie set, you have to be really into the role. You have to you know, either breathe really heavily or whatever you're pretending to be. You know,
did you get to take a nap at all?
So yeah, so it's no.
You actually put that in the film that she's sleeping.
I felt lightheaded. You know, I remember I felt lightheaded. I was crawling down the bed, you know, trying to stay on the ground for 5 minutes before I even get up. You know, because you're stiff. You know, after laying so many hours in bed, you know, you can't even move left or right because you're just on one position.
She's tied up all on fours. You know, her hands, her feet are all tied up. Within maybe an hour, she starts becoming part of that character.
Interesting.
So
I would say that's one of the hardest things to just lay in bed as an actor.
Yeah,
I think.
A quick question. This is kind of off the cuff. You know, a lot of people say, "Oh, I'm off tomorrow. I get to sleep in." Do you ever have one of those days where you're just stay at home and stay in your PJs all day and just like chill out?
Every day. Every day she's doing that. But she's laying in bed and doing her work, and then she'll get up in front of her computer, and then she'll do that. Had experience.
I love to be in bed. Why not? But, you know, I like to be outside, too. I'm an outgoing person. I like people.
So what do you two like to do outdoorsy? Like, what is your outdoorsy thing or, like, your adventure things that you like to do with the two of you? That's another question off the cuff.
We do like to travel. We love traveling. We've been around the world. But every time we go to these different countries, we want to make a movie.
Oh, you want to make a movie?
I said, this is a great location
like a
to make a film.
Show.
It's you perfect for a reality
it
show.
It is, for sure.
We should have been on 90-day visa then, too.
Well, Carolina, tell me about the special effects, you know, the props and the FX work that you did on yourself and Chuck and the others. You kind of elaborated on that. So how long did it take you to do the makeup?
4 hours minimum.
Okay. Did you have to redo that every day?
Well, so we shot like, you know, maybe 3-4 times a week, not like the whole week every day for a year or so. No, we had breaks. But yeah, if there was scene that required putting the makeup on, that was like maybe 4 hours for me to put all these different pieces of makeup, make sure that they're right. Then when I crawl myself to bed, you know, and he tied me up, whatever, for the scene, set up the lighting camera and everything, yes, we had to touch up from time to time. So, yeah, he was doing that. So
lighting is really important,
it required,
too.
Yeah, I was going to say that,
people.
Yes.
Yeah.
So we were using a lot of lighting, natural lighting, plus we have lights that we use that we had
It's incredible
positioned.
How it looks so major production.
Yeah,
it is major production. And that's the feel of this, and
yeah,
you're watching it.
It looks like a big-budget film. And
it does.
I don't even want to tell you what the budget was.
that's amazing. I would like to know after the show.
So it can be done.
It can be done.
It can be done. Anything can be done.
That's true.
If you put your mind to it.
Yeah, I have another friend that's writing a screenplay about horses, and she needs help. She's looking for a film director and somebody. She has a screenwriter that's writing it, but if you know anybody, if you want to take that project, I got one for you, and it's an amazing family movie. I'm a part of this, and I love what she's doing, so I got to talk to you about that, too. So in the meantime, so you won Best Actress for this last film that you have, and how did you feel when you found out? Like, where were you when you got the call or the email or the letter?
No, actually, we went to Tampa Bay Screams Festival,
You got to walk the red carpet.
Oh, yes, kind of. And
that was a big event. That was a big event. Our friend Sean Donahue there put on a great event, so everybody was there.
So they screened our movie for the first time. That was April this year, and they screened at the festival. So we invited everybody there, and suddenly,
so like even your neighbor, they were all there with
they
you.
Were
everybody,
all there.
That is so
they
cool.
Everybody, all the cast was there.
That's beautiful.
And they watched the final production of the movie, and they were just literally blown away by it.
Oh,
so we were very impressed.
And they
with
gave
it.
Me the award there.
That is what is it? A big plaque? A trophy?
Oh yeah, like a big plaque with my name.
That
and
is.
She had all the major film directors there, from John Schroeder, from what is that? Freddy Krueger was there. Wanted to take photographs with you. Yeah, all these Tamara Glenn.
Jack Shoulder.
They were all there wanting to. Who is this girl, Carolina?
Yeah, watch out, because you're like a shooting star, like really fast. And I'll tell you, when God opens a door, watch out, because you just fly right through it and things happen. So, of course, you won the Best Film Feature Film, which is phenomenal for that. And then can you tell me what the budget for the film was?
Wow, there's that magic question.
it came
up. We put some money into it for the costumes and special effects.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, the budget was probably less than $500. So
wow,
yeah, I was a low budget flick, and basically
that's unheard of.
Yeah. Probably they wrote our buddy John Allman said you guys probably had the lowest budget of any film ever made.
I mean, that's what you call no budget film, I guess. When you
and here you two are, and how you got the you got your cameras, you start filming, and it just you guys are like naturals.
Yeah, people spend millions of dollars on
budget. They sure
they
don't do.
We spend money on the camera. I forgot. Yeah.
Yeah, we bought the cameras, but
drones and stuff.
Drone, but that was part of the filming. But as far as everything else,
and you produced it yourself, which is truly remarkable.
Stage blood and latex, that was just, you know, I don't know, it was a few hundred dollars for that.
So another thing too, Chuck, tell me about Tone Wood Devices and the music score you did.
Tone Wood is, it's a famous device that you put on the back of an acoustic guitar.
Okay.
And the acoustic guitar actually is not plugged into an amplifier. So the Tone Wood amp itself blows through the sound hall. Mm-hmm. So instead of having a sweet sound coming out of it, which it's known to do, I said, let me fool around with this device even further. Mm-hmm. So I started over distorting it and over making it a kind of feedback. And I tuned my guitar strings down to a vestibule tuning.
We're going to have you come back and play your guitar.
I'd love to bring the band here and play acoustic.
Oh my God, that would be amazing.
Yeah, we're having a great acoustic show. It would be perfect for you guys.
I would love that. How far do you live away from the station?
Yeah, that's not a problem. We'll come and play for you guys anytime.
Well, that would be very cool. So you played lead guitar with the ironic rock and roll Hall of Famer, Marty
Balin.
Balin, yes. And the lead singer and the founder of the Jefferson Airplane.
Yes.
And Jefferson Starship. Did you go on tour with them?
Yes, yes. I played at the Iridium in Manhattan Cutting Room. We were going out to California playing in his native town out there, playing in, you know, throughout San Francisco at the Throckmorton area. But, you know, he was just an incredible human being, Marty. He was great. He was a great guy. He basically started the whole San Francisco scene out there.
What an inspiration that is. And oh my God, did he ever give you any good advice?
Yes. He was a great motivator for me, and he was very motivated like me as well.
Loved I can tell. The energy.
He was my mentor, basically. Great guy. I mean, just a fabulous person.
Well, I know the show goes so fast. It's 8:52, and I still have a lot more questions. And we talked about what inspired you to become a film director. Any other thoughts on that?
We love what we're doing, and we have other films that are going to be coming out. We just filmed a film in the Poconos up in the Lake Ariel area at a famous lodge up there called the Lackawack area.
Lackawack Lodge. Is it
open? Yes, it's open, yes.
Okay.
And we worked with the Pennsylvania Film Commissioner up there, and they helped us get the location, and finally we went up there and shot it. And that's a whole other group of characters that we had. They were driving all from all over the United States.
Amazing.
All over the United States to be in this, our second... another film that we did.
We have a team of editors right now who are helping to edit this movie, and we want to say hi to them.
Yeah, we want to say to our new editor crews that we have great people.
Yes, so. Give them shout-out names if you need to tell thank you or
yes,
comes to mind.
We got Nate, we got Everett, we got Paul there.
Mateo.
We got all these great people that are helping us right now, and they're believing in our mission and what we're trying to do. So,
Are you involved with the Tampa Bay Film Society? Have you heard of them?
Not yet,
but we will be.
A lot of film directors, they need to play your film at their shows as well. That's a really good one. Make sure you guys get connected.
Yes.
And what's both of yours, your favorite film of all time and why? That's my question. Yeah, I like that one.
That's a good question, Dawn.
So let's go first.
I mean, I have a lot of great films. They don't just have to be horror films or dramatic films. I mean, I do like film director Stanley Kubrick, and I do like Quentin Tarantino. I like Oliver Stone.
I was in one of his Quentin Tarantino.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Jackie Brown. Well, I was in the airport scene.
Well, I mean, he's a great film director.
Yeah,
there,
he's good friends with my friend Jeff Olin in L.A.
Wow, that's something we have to talk about later.
Jeff Olin is a casting director out there. Jeff Olin casting.
Wow. So back to your question. So as far as as far as great films, I mean, I'm a fan of The Shining, you know. I'm a fan of Spartacus with, Kurt Douglas. I love all Michael Douglas films, Wall Street.
Amazing.
I do love Robert De Niro. Robert De Niro is one of my favorite actors. I love Al Pacino. I like The Godfather.
You remind me of all of them in one.
Wow,
he looks like Robert De Niro.
You do a little bit. Yeah,
thank you.
He does. Yes. Yeah, I agree with you on that. And what's your favorite film of all time and why?
I love Hacksaw Ridge. And I love Dunkirk. I like those two war movies. I don't know why. I love the soundtrack for Dunkirk. And I'm very, you know, I did the sound as well for our movies. I mean, I mix everything, so I'm very particular of the sound. So I love the sound of Dunkirk, and Hacksaw Ridge is an amazing movie as well. I like movies with Leonardo DiCaprio. You know, right now he developed really to the great actor, you know, currently, and I love the movies with him. And all of the actors, like, you know, Al Pacino, I love, just like him, Robert De Niro, all these Italian mafioso actors, you know, out there.
I always love that question because that gives inspiration of, like, who are your favorites? And mine's Goldie Hawn.
Goldie Hawn's great.
Yeah.
I used to watch Laughing all the time.
Oh, I love her. Yeah.
Dean Martin. Was it Rowan Martin.
Yes.
Rowan Martin.
Yes.
So I also have a famous uncle called Charles Atlas.
Okay, seriously?
Yes, that's my uncle.
That is it. So that, did he inspire you at all?
Of course.
Of course.
Of course. Charles Atlas, the famous bodybuilder.
That's
so
amazing.
So he started fitness, you know?
You two are so, I know it's 8:56 and I have more questions and more questions. And I think my last question, is there anything that you want to say for the last few minutes that I didn't hit on yet on these?
We want to tell everybody that, and we want to thank everybody for listening in tonight, all our friends and fans out there. And our film is going to be released on October 26th.
On Vudu.
Perfect timing for Halloween. Great to get some popcorn, sit down, you know, maybe have a drink and get to watch this great film.
Mm-hmm. Pumpkin spice,
you know.
Are you one of those pumpkin spice people?
I love pumpkin spice.
I was in Walmart yesterday and it says pumpkin spice swirl bread. And I mean, it's like, I'm one of those too.
So our film is called The American Ripper. And either you can find it right now on IMDb, just type The American Ripper, but it's going to be available on Vudu on October 26th, and after that it's going to be available on all platforms.
Are you going to have a premiere day for anybody that wants to come to it, like at a cinema or someplace?
We may do that. We just got so bogged down with these other films that we're making, and so that could be possibly something we're going to do.
A lot of local film directors do that here too, and they, you know, sell tickets to go.
Yeah. We also want to thank our good friends there, Stuart and Nicole.
And J.J. Rogers.
J.J. Rogers, that are our distribution people from ITN Films. Mm-hmm. They're just wonderful. They were the ones that kind of jump-started us and helped us get to the next level. So we're very excited to work with them.
Well, I always say Godspeed ahead, and whatever your dream is,
follow it.
I like the opening. Some dreams come true, some don't. It's what you do and put into it, which is truly phenomenal. You both have inspired the world. I know you have, because I have a lot of other film directors watching, actresses, and here you are. You don't wait for things to happen. You're your agent to call you. Real quick, did you have an agent ever?
No, but through Carolina, being persistent and tenacious on the phone, calling, they were actually fighting over our first film.
Wow.
So Amityville, Mount Misery Road.
I work with a lot of talent agents, and they call me and they say, Dawn, do you have anybody you want to send over? So if you need an agent, I have one for you. Not an Asian, agent.
Nice.
Somebody told me last time, what
do you
mean
agent? We may put you in one of our films, Dawn.
Oh my gosh, I was a flight attendant, a reporter. Well, I want to thank you both, and I'm so excited that it's coming up. I just want to tell everybody, I actually watched the movie A Million Miles Away, and Jose Henderis was one of the astronauts. It was a migrant worker, and when he was a kid, he saw himself as an astronaut, which really picks up what today's show is about. You guys saw yourself, and he became an astronaut. He's going to be on the show at 8 o'clock on November 2nd.
Wow.
At 8 o'clock, he said about 15, 20-minute interview. We only have about 13, 14 seconds here. God bless you. Remember, give all the God and glory in your life. Watch things happen and get out and make things happen.
Exactly. Thank you, Dawn, for having us on your show. Great personality.
Thank you so much.
Great radio host.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Thank you.
And we'll be back. We're going to bring him back on the air. God bless you. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.